Jackson, W266DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Outrage is growing over Israel's bombardment of Gaza and the civilian death toll. Israel still insists there will be no ceasefire until Hamas frees all hostages. The BBC's Yoland Nell reports from Jerusalem.
This war is continuing very intensely. What we've heard from the Israeli military, that it's now effectively cut the Gaza Strip into two halves, that it has that much control on the ground as it's continuing, it says, to battle Hamas fighters.
The main Palestinian telecom provider says services are coming back in parts of the Gaza Strip after another outage yesterday. In Turkey, police used tear gas and water cannons to disperse hundreds of protesters at an air base where U.S. troops are stationed. This morning, Secretary of State Blinken arrived for talks a day after making an unannounced visit to the West Bank, where he met with the head of the Palestinian Authority. CBS News has confirmed CIA Director William Burns is also in the Middle East. Former President Trump will be front and center at court in New York City today. He's scheduled to take the witness stand at his civil fraud trial. CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
There is some risk to President Trump's testimony, but he's prepared to take that risk. This is a civil trial and not a criminal case, which means that the judge could infer that Trump is guilty of fraud if he remains silent. Trump is also used to big rallies and social media rants where he tends to exaggerate. In a court of law, he's under oath.
Mr. Trump's former attorney, John Eastman, is speaking out about the memo he wrote, arguing for former Vice President Mike Pence to stop the 2020 election certification process. Eastman tells CBS's 60 Minutes.
We did nothing wrong, and it's important to counteract the false narratives on that because all of my actions were designed to investigate illegality in the election to see if they had an impact.
Eastman, Mr. Trump, and 17 others were charged with election tampering in Georgia. Eastman could also face disbarment. Reps for the striking Hollywood actors are mulling over a new offer. CBS's Kenny Choi.
Studios presented SAG-AFTRA members with what they're calling the best and final offer. The proposal includes more residual bonuses for popular streaming shows and protections on AI.
Buy your kids snacks in a pouch. There's another recall. CBS's Matt Piper.
Some fruit pouches for kids are being recalled for possible lead poisoning. The USDA says at least 7 children in 5 states have gotten sick so far from cinnamon applesauce and other fruit puree pouch products.
S&P futures are up 8. This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform. You need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credit.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. Radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A new survey finds almost 3/4 of water samples drawn across Wisconsin last year were contaminated with PFAS chemicals. Scientists with the state sampled 450 private wells that reach no deeper than 40 feet. It's the first time Wisconsin sampled shallow groundwater away from large communities or PFAS cleanup and investigation sites. Most of the wells had PFAS concentrations lower than both state DNR and federal EPA standards. Wisconsin could get $229 million from Washington to help pay to keep children in daycare. It's part of an emergency request the Biden administration is making to Congress after pandemic daycare funding ran out at the end of September. The Wisconsin legislature rejected Governor Evers' special session on child care this fall. After that, Evers released $170 million in emergency funding. I'm Nate Wiegehout, Civic Media News.
The Packers defeat the Rams. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers got an early lead and held on to win 20-3 over the Rams on a rainy day at Lambeau Field. L.A. falls to 3-6 and heads into their bye week, head coach Sean McVay.
I was proud of the way our defense played today. They kept us in the game. They continued to battle, and then it kind of got away a little bit at the end. They didn't do nearly a good enough job offensively.
The Packers snapped a 4-game losing streak and head to Pittsburgh next week against the Steelers. Head coach Matt LaFleur.
The guys continue to battle each and every day. I see it, and I think that'll give us hopefully some energy as we come in, have a very tough contest next week in Pittsburgh against a team that's been as consistent as anybody over the years. under Mike Tomlin. We got to have a great week of preparation.
NBA, the Bucks are on the road against the Brooklyn Nets. Game time tonight, 6:30. Head coach Adrian Griffin asked how Marjan Beauchamp is doing at the start of a second season with the team.
When you're coming off the bench, your job is to outplay their bench. And I thought he did that.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Clear skies today with a chance for scattered storms. Highs level off around 64. Southwest winds 15 to 20 miles an hour. Tonight, lows around 39. High of 48 tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 52 degrees.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our outstanding producer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board on this beautiful Friday. First Friday in November. TGIF, happy to have you along with us. In hour number two of the big show. That's right, we are now noon until 2 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Coming up at 2 o'clock, our friend and colleague, Matt Flynn. Matt Flynn Direct will be in with more fine programming, more information, taking you to the front lines of history being made directly after our program. Coming up a little bit later on this hour, the 50 funniest moments of Airplane the movie. Of course, the producers and director, the Zucker brothers, David and Jerry Zucker from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And so on the 50th anniversary of the movie, you're going to look back at Airplane the movie, the 50, we'll give you the top five at least. Funniest moments. Also, I'll give you a question of what's worse, and also a little sports preview and board game of the week. That's coming up in this hour. Right now, I want to finish up on the issue that we talked about last hour, which is trying to put the Israeli-Hamas war in a more local context. Again, we're not going to fix or solve the Mideast problems here in Wisconsin between you and I. But what I'm trying to put it into context is make us think about our friends and neighbors. And so the question I've been asking, which I don't think we've got anybody who actually answered it yet, is if your house of worship or community center, Lutheran, Methodist, Catholic, Sikh, Islam, or Jewish, were surrounded by or the front of the building was by protesters protesting against you, how would you feel? Because that's what happened here in Madison in the Hillel House building, home to 4,000 Jewish students. Now, they don't all live there, but that's where they kind of center around as their community center. Some do live there. How would you feel about this if it were your faith being attacked? 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. We started off with Gary in Sussex before the break. We were running up against the clock, so Gary, apologize for that. Thank you for holding through the break. Gary, why don't you just go ahead and finish or make the point you wanted to make on that subject.
Okay, thank you very much. You know, as a conservative, I really like listening to you. You're very polite. You let me get my stuff out without interrupting me. And you know, you say, hey, you know, it's your opinion. And I agree. I have an opinion. You have an opinion. On this one, I think we agree 100%. But back to what I was saying before, they took a survey and they said 85% of people in the United States believe that Israel is right, what's going on, and Hamas is, and then 15% is wrong. Now, they also did a survey. They said between the ages of 18 and 25, that's young people, college age, they're the 15% that believe that Hamas is right. So as a conservative most of my life, not always, I was liberal years ago, but I turned into conservative when Ronald Reagan became president. I've been called a Nazi many times. Okay. Now, who are the Nazis? The Nazis now are these young college-age kids that are going to these liberal Ivy League schools, and that a lot of these professors that are teaching them are messing their minds up. And now this is just my opinion now, Todd. So I'm sure. Can I ask you a question?
Let's ask you a question before. I agree with you that there are certain people or students at some of these universities who may fall into the category. I don't know that I would go so far as to call anyone a Nazi unless they have a swastika or given this salute and want genocide or what have you. But I get your point. But could we at least agree and say that is not reflective of every college student? I mean, I saw a lot of college students at the pro-Israel rally here in Madison this last week. So I don't think it's indicative of all young people. Certainly there is a segment. Can we agree on that?
Oh, 100%. 100% I agree. You know, you and I and your callers, we agree on what's going on. This is what I would do. If I was a president of the United States, I would just go out there and I'd say, okay, fine. I would talk to Netanyahu and I would sit there and say, look, put an olive branch out there and say, release all of the hostages. And after you released all the hostages, then we will talk. Mm-hmm. But until you release every one of them, every single one of them, we're going to come in there and we're going to find you. We're going to kill you. Because the fact is that their leaders of Hamas went out there and said yesterday on the radio in whatever it was translated. And he said, we will never stop until every last Jew is killed.
Yeah, okay. we read that quote from the
it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Yeah. And the thing is, an eye for an eye. Yes, I understand that's, you know, what is fair. But the fact is, you'd have to eliminate these people until they're gone, because they will never stop. They will never stop, Todd.
I want to make it clear my position. You can have your position. My position is eliminating Hamas. I certainly don't believe in eliminating every single Palestinian, because there are a lot of Palestinians who are innocent in all this, but it's the Hamas folks who need to be rooted out, because you can't, I don't believe you can move forward with a two-state solution while one side believes that the other should be annihilated. I mean, you just can't negotiate that. You know, so you can't.
When we were at war in Germany, we were not at war with the German people. We were at war with the Nazis.
Exactly.
Not the German people. They were our friends.
Right.
And the fact is, Israel is not at war with the Palestinians. They're at war with the Nazi Hamas,
right,
you know, and Hezbollah.
Right.
So that's all I want to say. And Todd, thank you for holding me over. I appreciate you letting me get my stuff out.
Sure. No, I always appreciate it, Gary. You know, like I said, we might not always agree, but I appreciate your dialogue and I appreciate your perspective.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Yep. Have a good day, Gary. Bye. Appreciate all the phone calls. Appreciate the texts in this as well. Here's someone texting in, Steve from Milwaukee. So I have a question. Why, if the Palestinians are going to getting carpet bombed, can't they revolt against Hamas to end the carnage? That's actually a great question. And it's a complex answer, but the simple answer, and this is something that actually former Republican Congressman Adam Kinzinger, who served in the U.S. Army and served abroad, deployed, has asked the same thing. Look, a lot of Hamas have been killed. There are a lot of weapons laying around. Why don't the Palestinians rise up and attack Hamas interior? And my guess is there are probably some that have. But when your entire world is crumbling around you, you know, part of it is just survival, right? Survival first, and then trying to attack Hamas from within. But I think it's a great question, Steve. I think it's a great perspective.
Yeah, especially if these people are being told, like, all right, there's humanitarian aid coming, you'll be able to exit south. Mm. And then whether or not that happens, they at least thought they could.
Right. And again, I'm going to defer to the Biden administration. I'm going to defer to Anthony Blinken. I'm going to defer to the State Department. And according to them, not all the numbers that Hamas or Palestine has been releasing are accurate, number one. Number two, there are reports, again, not via a news organization, but via the U.S. government, that there are some humanitarian supplies which are being held in the hands of Hamas, not allowing them to get to the Palestinian people. So that's another issue. I want to tell you just before the next break here, we're going to come back, we're going to lighten things up a little bit. But I want to get very callous for a second. And I want to talk about the political implications of this here at home. I was talking to Mr. Zomers about this over the break. I think, and again, I'm a former 30-year Republican. I left the party in 2011. I voted straight Democratic since 2012. And I plan to, I'm voting for Joe Biden in 2024. I'm voting for Tammy Baldwin. By the way, if you're in Richland Center, Wisconsin, you got about 15 minutes. Senator Baldwin is in Richland Center today. She is going to be at the Richland County Democratic headquarters located at 900 North Main Street around 1:30. So about 15 minutes from now, she's going to be giving a speech. And the great thing is you do not have to be a giver to the Democratic Party. You don't have to be a contributor. Don't even have to be a Democrat. That this is open to the community. So anybody in Southwest Wisconsin, Richland County in particular, you can head on down to the Richland County Democratic headquarters at 900 North Main Street in about 15, 20 minutes. Senator Baldwin will be there. And this is the kind of leadership we need to have representatives, senators go out into their constituency and talk with their constituents. To have open dialogue. And look, we're not always going to agree. Probably a healthy thing, quite frankly. But at least you have your U.S. senator out in the rural parts of the state talking to real people. So if you're in Richland County at 1:30, about 15 minutes from now, go down and talk to Senator Baldwin. But here's the thing. So take it or leave it, right? I'm a former Republican. But I hope that Democrats, the Democratic Party, is very careful on this issue of Israel. And be very careful, just like I've spoken out about the election of 2020 and being factual about that. I hope that people are factual about what's happening in Israel right now. Hamas is a terrorist organization. That is indisputable. And if there's an alternative narrative to that, by Democrats, by left-wing progressive Democrats in particular, if you think that that's going to sell politically in the 3rd District of Wisconsin, you are sorely mistaken. And I hope that Democrats understand that being an ally of Israel has been a, again, Hamas was declared a terrorist organization under Bill Clinton. Hillary Clinton, we heard the cut from her. We've heard it a couple of times. Saying that Israel tried to bring peace. And Hamas has continued to destroy that. Look, it's fine to speak out against humanity or speak in favor of humanitarian efforts. I'm for that. It's fine, as we heard at the top of the news, for Joe Biden to say, look, there need to be pauses to bring in humanitarian relief, to let out Palestinians who want to leave. That's all great. I support that. But you start going down this narrative that somehow, just like when Donald Trump stood in Charlotte, North Carolina, and said of the Ku Klux Klan people, well, there are many fine people on both sides. No, there aren't. There are no fine people in the Ku Klux Klan. There are not. There are no fine people in Hamas. There aren't. And I will continue to speak out to pursue the truth wherever it may lead. We're going to come back and lighten things up. Stay with us. This is the Todd Allball Show. And this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Shaw, WAUK.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 20 past the hour of 1 o'clock. A little breaking news for you, courtesy of our news partners at CBS News. Breaking news right now, the Supreme Court, the United States Supreme Court, has agreed to hear a case involving a Trump-era ban on bump stocks for firearms. So I guess you never know. But we'll see where it goes. But at least it's going before the Supreme Court. According to CBS News, the Supreme Court has agreed to hear a case involving a Trump-era ban on bump stocks for firearms. We shall see where that goes.
Once again, I know some of the argument against such a ban is that, well, just because they're illegal doesn't mean people won't get them.
Right.
But it's at least a deterrent, makes it a lot harder, and going into the future, fewer of them will be around.
Yes, 100% agree on that, Mr. Sommers. I want to get to you. We're not going to spend a lot of time on this, but I did want to mention it because we talked quite a bit about this yesterday on our show. But there is a great story in Milwaukee Journal Sentinel today by Molly Beck and Jesse Opoyan. Voss moving this impeachment articles against the election chief Megan Wolf into committee in the wake of an ad pressure campaign. We played the ad for you yesterday. And let me just give you a couple of sentences. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss is assigned to committee impeachment against the Wisconsin elections chief amid a six-figure ad campaign threatening her removal. A campaign launched days after Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman, former Justice Gableman, suggested the group behind the ads that Voss should be recalled if he did not advance the articles. The impeachment articles against Election Commission Administrator Megan Wolf were first circulated by a group of Republican members of the Assembly on September 21st. Voss said at the time he instead preferred using a legislative process that allows a committee to hire a new administrator. We played the ad for you yesterday. It's a despicable ad. It's filled with lies. And it goes after Megan Wolf, who again is simply the administrator. She does not have a vote on this commission. Overseeing Wisconsin elections, she has won multiple awards for her job as election commissioner or the administrator. And Republicans tried to fire her in the Senate. Then it came out in deposition that they admitted they really didn't have that power. A court ruled that they didn't have that power. Attorney General Josh Call is suing to keep her in the position. And Voss himself has said, no, I'm not so hot on impeachment. But now the MAGA party, the MAGAs who control what used to be the Republican Party, are pushing Voss, saying, we're going to take you out if you don't do this. And he folded like a cheap tin.
The modus operandi of the MAGA party is do it. If you get stopped, you're a martyr.
Yeah, pretty much.
And pretty also, much. You said it was a six-figure ad campaign?
Yes, according to Molly Beck and Jesse Opoyan.
If I paid six figures for that ad, I would demand my money back. The audio quality is awful. And a caller yesterday when I was screening said to me, I can't listen to that anymore. And I'm like, neither could I. It's terrible. Like if they showed me the final ad there, I was like, what, did you record this in a toilet? Start over.
This coming from our chief producer, our senior producer who knows production very well. Thank you very much. You're right. It's a terribly produced ad.
You can do mediocre and have it be fine, but it sounds like it came out of a toilet.
It's bad. Anyway, we'll continue to follow this. And again, it's absurd. It's an atrocity. Megan Wolf has done nothing to rise to the level of impeachment. Courts have agreed to this. But again, it just shows you where the former Republican Party is at, the MAGA Party. They are controlled by the most extreme of extreme out there. Time now at 24 past the hour to go into a little edition of What's Worse. This or that. This or that.
choice is yours.
You can get with this, or you can get with that. You can get with this, or you can get
a little what's worse for you on a Friday edition. Here we go. What's worse? Because we're getting daylight saving time, by the way, comes to an end this Saturday night. Remember to fall back. Turn your clocks back 1 hour when you go to bed on Saturday if yours doesn't do it automatically. So that means winter's coming. Winters are coming. So here's what's worse. The question today, what's worse, winter or diarrhea? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. What's worse, winter or a bad case of diarrhea?
I got to say, I did not expect that one.
That comes from our crack staff. Not you.
Our crack staff or our cracked staff?
Oh, yes, our cracked staff. What's worse, winter or diarrhea? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Or maybe a case of diarrhea that lasts all winter.
Now that's the answer right there.
But I mean, if you eat something wrong, I mean, it can last, you know, it can go on. You got to take an Imodium AD. That's no fun.
You know, both can kill you.
They can, absolutely. But winter lasts, you know, winter generally lasts a lot longer. It can be painful.
I do think it also depends if we're talking winter in Wisconsin, which I imagine we are,
right
in Wisconsin. Yeah. Also, we got a text on the Civic Media app. Feel free to answer the question there as well. Jeff from Shorewood says winter is worse. Just winter, period.
Wow.
Speaks for itself.
Wow. Okay, that's good. I'm glad Jeff from Shorewood on WAOK appreciate that. He's saying that winter, worse than diarrhea. What's worse, winter or diarrhea? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789, or hit us up on the Civic Media app. You can text us, just push a button, download the Civic Media app to your Apple or Android device, and then push a button. You can text us there. I don't know. I think diarrhea is worse, really, because I mean, winter, you can bundle up. I mean, and really with climate change, the only benefit of climate change is that our winters have not been as cold. Snow, I'm fine with snow. In fact, I like a snowy winter. I don't like a brown winter. Speaking of diarrhea.
Oh, brown winter. That's something else.
You don't want a brown winter.
I'm dreaming of a brown Christmas.
I know. But at least with winter, you can bundle up. It's not sore when you sit down during winter. So what do you think? What's worse, winter or diarrhea? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. What's worse, winter or diarrhea? You can also text us on the Civic Media app. This is interesting. I did not expect this gets delivered to me by Carrier Pigeon. I take it out of the little rolled up thing and I unroll it and I read it. That's all I do. I don't make these up. I just wait for them to arrive. So I'm not sure. Because again, winter, it's gotten more mild over the years.
Climate change.
Right. And I'm not for climate change. I'm just saying because of climate change, it's gotten more mild.
I would say I think that diarrhea is worse than winter for sure, which is not a sentence I ever thought I would say.
I know. And it can depend on what you eat. Well, give us a, if you want, weigh in during the commercial break. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. What's worse, winter or diarrhea? Back with the five funniest things about Airplane, the movie, on the other side, and your calls as well. The Todd Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Outrage is growing over Israel's bombardment of Gaza.
BBC's Yoland Nell reports from Jerusalem.
Israel's military says it's now effectively split Gaza into two halves and that its forces are surrounding Gaza City, the biggest city in the Strip and a stronghold of Hamas.
Secretary of State Blinken arrived for talks in Turkey today. Former President Trump is expected to testify at his civil fraud trial in New York today. CBS's Naomi Ruckham.
This high-stakes case could cost the former president control of some of his marquee properties, including the Trump Tower here in Manhattan.
Mr. Trump's former attorney, John Eastman, is defending a memo he wrote to former Vice President Pence, advising him to stop the 2020 election process. Eastman tells CBS's 60 Minutes.
The threat to shutting down speech of opposing political views means that the people are no longer in charge of the direction of their government.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Don't change the station, but do watch out for deer, would ya? You know, they're running around all willy-nilly. It is the Krebscast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin Assembly Speaker Robin Voss is dismissing suggestions that a conservative advertising blitz persuaded him to move articles of impeachment forward against Megan Wolf. The group bought $100,000 of TV and newspaper ads in Milwaukee calling for Voss's ouster. Voss tells the Cap Times the group doesn't understand how the process works. Wisconsin Democrats are in campaign mode a year early. They're launching a statewide organizing effort in 115 communities this weekend. President Biden might not have long coattails in Wisconsin. State Party Chair Ben Wickler says that won't matter.
Voters are casting ballots because of the issues, because of their yearning for freedom, because they want to have the power to make their own decisions about their own bodies, because they want to live in a democracy.
Wickler points to Democrats' recent wins for statewide office and Jenna Protasiewicz's Supreme Court victory. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check NHTSA.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Clear skies today with a chance for scattered storms. Highs level off around 64. Southwest winds 15 to 20 miles an hour. Tonight, lows around 39. High of 48 tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 52 degrees.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
The Shaw, WAUK.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Carl Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 34 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock. Iconic music there from Airplane, the movie. Fantastic job, Mr. Zomers. Well done.
Which I still haven't seen. Maybe I'll fix that tonight. We'll see.
It'd be a good night to watch a little Airplane, I think, tonight.
Well, it's the 50th anniversary.
So. Yes. Well, let's clear up our... I was going to say clean up, but that doesn't quite sound right. I want to just finish up our question of the week here, our question of the day. What's worse from the home office, winter or diarrhea? What's worse, winter or diarrhea? 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789.
We got a call in from Bill in Madison saying that winter is far worse because at least if you have diarrhea, it should only last a day or two.
It should. I agree. I absolutely agree. Also on the text line from WAUK, a caller in Waukesha says, quote, you can still find a lot of fun things to do in the winter. I don't know anything fun about diarrhea, unquote.
I have to agree there.
I don't want to get into it. I really don't. But is it true? Mr. Zomers told me that there may be a story about passing out on the toilet. Is this true?
No, there's more than one story.
That's very extreme.
So for me, that is definitely worse.
That is definitely worse. Yeah. I would, my vote's diarrhea. I could do something about winter. I can just put on another jacket or a pair of snow boots or whatever. All right. More what's worse next week. We appreciate all the people who called in and texted in and participated as well. Want to get to this great story. Our friends and partners at Cracked.com. This comes from Tim Grierson, great writer, great journalist here at Cracked. You can find him at Cracked.com. That's C-R-A-C-K-E-D, Cracked.com. Great article out yesterday called The 50 Funniest Moments of the Movie Airplane. He writes, I don't care how many times you've seen Airplane, arguably the greatest comedy ever made, in Tim's opinion. There are still jokes you probably missed. Likewise, you perhaps think you know everything about the making of the 1980 classic, but surely you can't be serious. Proves that, well, that may be endless. A book-length oral history from writer-directors David Zucker, Jim Abrams, and Jerry Zucker. Surely, that's the name of the book, Surely, is a deep dive into everything Zazz, including their early days as childhood friends. David and Jerry are brothers, of course, and the launch of Kentucky Fried Theater, which paved the way for their first film in 1977, The Kentucky Fried Movie. But their masterpiece was the follow-up of a spoof of disaster movies, specifically Flight in Crisis films like Zero Hour, whose melodramatic dialogue they sometimes lifted verbatim. That was also riffed on everything from Jaws to Saturday Night Fever to Gerald Ford. The book details loads of excellent behind-the-scenes details about Airplane. David Letterman auditioned. Did you know that? I've seen the clip. Letterman auditioned for Airplane.
I did not know that.
Yeah, he did. It contains interviews from cast and crew, as well as testimonials and contemporary comics like Bill Hader, which... elicits and what makes this 43-year-old comedy so timeless. It's a delight. So I don't know where I got it was the 50th anniversary. 43 years. My bad. 43 years old. Airplane, the movie is. Feel free to call. Have you seen the movie? It's one of my all-time favorites, by the way. And there's a lot more in this article by Tim Grierson at Cracked.com. But call in if you've seen Airplane, the movie. What is your favorite scene or favorite memory from Airplane, the movie? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. And you forget some of this stuff. At least I've spent years since I've seen the whole movie. But there's some really funny... Here's one we're not going to give you the clip for. They only made number 47 on the list, but it's one of my favorite ones. So in a flashback scene to Elaine... and Ted's early love affair, we see them working with the Peace Corps in Africa, trying to quote-unquote educate the locals about seemingly astounding first-world advancements like Tupperware. Remember Mr. Zomers, are you aware of Tupperware?
Of what?
See, this is the point. Tupperware. It was a brand name of Tupperware.
No,
Tupperware.
I know. Yeah, I've got Tupperware in my fridge.
All right, well, there you go. So the whole scene, according to Tim Grierson, the whole scene is a knock on the arrogance of Americans going into other cultures thinking they need our help. And so the line was, you know, Jeff Zuckerberg says, Tupperware was big back then. They had Tupperware parties and all that. Remember that? Tupperware parties?
Oh, yeah. I even saw some of those.
Yeah, so. My mom had them.
And also, my favorite movie scene revolving around Tupperware parties is from Napoleon Dynamite.
Oh, right.
And they're sure. talking about how indestructible it is. And then they just drive over it with the car and swear at it as it explodes.
So Zuckerberg says everybody knew Tupperware. Not so much now. A funny thing, though, that they actually had to call the product Supperware in the movie, presumably so they wouldn't get sued. So they called it Supperware instead of Tupperware in the movie. Also, a favorite point number 46 was Ronald Reagan. According to crack.com, it says airplane opened in the summer of 1980. A few months later, Ronald Reagan was elected president. And before then, he was governor of California. And before that, an actor. His movies were, you know, not considered masterpieces, which explains why one of Airplane's ill passengers, Shirley, declares, quote, I haven't felt this awful since we saw the Ronald Reagan film, unquote. Little did Zuckerberg know that the greater impact that Reagan would have on the world soon. Forgot about that line in the movie. What's your favorite movie from your moment from Airplane, the movie? 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Dick in Madison, what's your favorite moment from Airplane?
Hey, guys.
Hey, Dick, what's your favorite moment from Airplane?
Well, first of all, the Tupperware, isn't that senator from, oh, no, that's Tupperville.
Nicely done.
My favorite is when that kid comes up in the cockpit and he starts talking to Kareem and he goes, my dad says you loaf on defense and this and that and the other thing. Kareem just grabs him. Come up and he goes, listen, kid, if you had Lanier hanging on your back.
That is a great.
There's so many of them.
All right. And again, the Wisconsin connection, right? Zuckerberg, they grew up in Milwaukee and then Kareem, of course, played for the Bucks. And so that was just fantastic.
Yeah, that was my favorite.
Great. Thanks. We appreciate you calling in, Dick. Thanks for sharing that. Really appreciate it. Have a great day. What's your favorite moment from Airplane? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. So we're going to just go skip ahead to the top five, and we're going to give you the clips from kind of the top five as we run them down here. So number five was get in crash position. Get in crash position. And if you're not familiar, we're going to play the clip here and then we'll explain it. Here we go. This is number five, the top moment, according to crack.com, Tim Grierson from the movie Airplane. Go ahead, Mr. Zuckerberg.
Sound your alarm bell now.
All right, now, everybody, get in crash position.
So, again, it doesn't quite work on radio without seeing it. But when you say crash positions, people get in all different poses on their head. You know, it's just hilarity.
It's more as if the plane had already crashed and their bodies were just around.
Exactly. Tim Grierson of Cracked writes, to this day, my dad will reference this joke whenever something about quote unquote crash positions comes up in a movie or on TV. It's a genius level dumb bit. And the Zucker Brothers team happened upon it as part of their prep work for the script. Said, quote, we'd watched old movies, particularly the flying movies, remembers Jerry Zucker. I'd say, wait, stop the tape. What if, sometimes it was a punchline, sometimes it was a visual thing, like, what if people are in positions as though they crashed, to Mr. Zahmer's point, and said, we did that a ton. So it was intentional. Just to make it look like the crash had already happened. Get in crash position. That is number five. Number four, according to Tim Grierson of crack.com, the number four top scene in Airplane the movie was the line, looks like I picked the wrong week too. And before we play this, I want to explain it. So seriously, McCroskey has a lot of vices, all of which he decided to quit this week, writes Tim Grierson of Cracked. The wrong week to stop smoking bit came directly from Zero Hour. We that says of David Zucker said, "We did We did that just as it was," explains David Zucker. "And then we added drinking, and then we added amphetamines, then finally glue sniffing. In Kentucky Fried Theater, we learned to build a joke and not to do just the most outrageous one first. And that's what you see in Airplane." So again, this is a line that I've used in my real life before. I think a lot of people have. This is where it came from. "Looks like I picked a wrong week to you." Go ahead, Mr. Summers.
"It's like I picked the wrong week to quit smoking. It's like I picked the wrong week to quit drinking. It's like I picked the wrong week to quit amphetamines. It's like I picked the wrong week to quit sniffing glue."
So again, in each of these scenes, you know, at different points in the movie, when something really bad happens or really stressful, the character just says, "It looks like I picked the wrong week too."
And he's looking more and more disheveled as it goes on.
Drinking amphetamines, glue sniffing. It's a great bit. We're talking about the top 50 scenes in Airplane, the movie, according to Crack.com's Eric Grierson, who has been on, or Tim, pardon me, Tim Grierson, who has been on the show before. We appreciate that. By the way, if you have a favorite scene from Airplane, give us a call, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. I'm surprised this didn't make number one, because I think it's probably the most iconic line from Airplane the movie.
I would say so, yeah.
So let's just play it, then we'll describe it. Here it is, number three on the list.
"Can you fly this plane and land it?"
"Surely you can't be serious."
"I am serious, and don't call me Shirley."
"How are the passengers doing?"
"I won't deceive you, Mr. Stryker. We're running out of time."
"Surely there must be something you can do."
"I'm doing everything I can. And stop calling me Shirley."
"Please don't call me Shirley." It's an absolutely great line. And Tim Grierson says, arguably, the most famous bit came from The Zero Hour, but Crash Landing. Yet despite how iconic the bit is now, the guys are pretty much modest about coming up with the dearthless and please don't call me Shirley joke. Jerry Zucker said it was a setup in Crash Landing, and then we added that. So it was really fantastic. Let's go to the lines. Gary in Sussex. Gary, thanks for calling in. What is your favorite scene from Airplane the movie?
Hi, Todd. This is Gary again.
Yeah. What's your favorite scene from Airplane?
Well, when the doctor comes in and they explain to the people that we figured out where the sickness came from, and he says it was the guys that ate the fish. So anybody who eats the fish is going to get sick. So then the pilot, Jim Graves, I think his name is, he starts foaming from the mouth. You know, that's mine. And he starts puking, and, you know, that was mine.
Every one of them, right? I mean, there's just scene after scene. And now a lot of this has been picked up in other comedy bits. So, yeah, it's fantastic. Really appreciate the call, Gary. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Sure.
Talking about favorite scenes in Airplane the movie. Number two, the drinking problem. Mr. Somers, we have time to play that? All right, here it is. Number two, the drinking problem.
"It was at that moment that I first realized Elaine had doubts about our relationship. And that, as much as anything else, led to my drinking problem."
So in that clip, you hear the pouring. He's pouring a cup of Gatorade, and then he says he has a drinking problem and just splashes the cup all over his face.
The drinking problem is he can't drink. You know, it's more visual, but we still wanted to bring it to you. Apparently that was in the script, says Jerry Zucker. So just as it was described. So I had a drinking problem. We'll come back with the number one scene in Airplane the movie. Also, board game of the week with Mr. Zomers and what we're thankful for. Don't go anywhere. This is the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Top U.S. Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
Jelly,
Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Welcome back to the Tahlo Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 10 before the hour of 2 o'clock. At the top of the hour, our friend and colleague, Matt Flynn. Matt Flynn Direct will be in, taking you to the front lines of history, history being made every minute of every day. Matt Flynn will take you there. And great program on tap. And now, 2-hour expanded edition each and every day, Monday through Friday, 2 o'clock until 4. Matt Flynn Direct. Do not miss it. Going to want to make sure you stay tuned right after the news, after our show. Want to finish up on the 48th anniversary or the 43rd anniversary, whatever it is, of Airplane the movie here. According to crack.com, Tim Grierson, who has been on the show before, and this is, again, it's more visual, but we're going to play it and then we'll explain it. Number one, reinflating the automatic pilot.
Don't panic. On the belt line of the automatic pilot, there is a hollow tube. Now that is the manual inflation nozzle. Pull it out and blow on it.
So, again, it's a very visual joke, but the automatic pilot, is the pilot is a blow-up doll. It looks like a pilot, all dressed like in a blue suit and a cap and everything like that.
With a friendly smile.
And so this thing is deflated to the plane. And so the flight attendant is trying to fly this. And so the ground controller says, don't worry, you can reinflate the automatic pilot. It's on the nozzle to reinflate. It's on the belt. And so she goes in and she takes out the stem of the nozzle. And she goes down, got a little excited there, goes down and starts blowing up, inflating the automatic pilot. Well, when the other guy comes in into the cockpit, you can imagine what it looks like. She has her head down in the lap of the automatic pilot, blowing up the blow-up doll. So anyway, according to in the article here, it says Elaine needs to step up when Otto, the automatic pilot balloon, starts to lose air. Lucky for her, he has a manual inflation nozzle, and well, you know the rest. So it was perfect timing, according to Jim Abrams, says, no pun intended, after his buddies laugh at his double entendre, he adds a correction. The joke evolved. Wouldn't it be funny if the autopilot was a balloon? And then it kind of just went from there. So there you go. The top five things in the great article. Check it out at crack.com. Tim Grierson, the 50 funniest moments of Airplane the movie.
One other one that Jeff Perry, frequent contributor and friend, has said is his favorite is this one, where you've got a bunch of people in the traffic control of the airplane trying to figure out what's going on, but their names are unfortunate for this situation.
Clearance, Clarence.
Roger, Roger. What's our vector, Victor?
Howard radio, Clarence, over.
That's Clarence, over.
Over.
Roger. Huh?
They've got Roger, Clarence, Victor, Unger, and it's very confusing.
Yeah, very good. Very good. Appreciate that, Mr. Perry. Also, Jim from Appleton texting in on WGBW up in Green Bay. Jim at Appleton says, the little cutout of the stuff hitting the fan. That's my favorite one. We'll leave that one there. Also, WISS, a caller from Oshkosh Air Support. Chump don't want to help. Chump don't get no help. There you go. There's a line in there as well. So we appreciate all the phone calls, all the texts as well, Mr. Zomers. I mean, do we have time for a quick board game of the week? All right, here we go. Very quickly, board game of the week.
time once again for the board game of the week. Here we are on November 3rd, the first Friday of the month. And today's board game of the week is Carcassonne. And you might say, Aaron, what's wrong with you? You Aaron, already did Carcassonne on January 26th, 2023.
Aaron, what's wrong with you?
what I'm talking about today is the expansions for the game Carcassonne. So Carcassonne is a game in which you play against each other, playing tiles to build out the French countryside and get points for making cities and things like that. It's very fun, very easy. And the only real requirement is that you need a big table or people who are willing and able to sit on the floor because the map can get pretty big.
Okay.
And one of my cousins has this game. Recently, I went over, he has all the expansions, and he decided to add one in with the dragon. And I thought it was a lot of fun. So basically, it adds volcano tiles where the dragon can come out and then stomp on people's cities and blow them up and things like that. But you also get a little fairy that you can put to protect your cities. So you can spend your turn moving the fairy instead of placing a tile. And it sounds goofy, but it's a lot of the Carcassonne expansions are simple things like that. Just add another little option of fun to make it more interesting when you've played your 20th game or whatever.
All right. Very good. So the expansion now.
Yes. Just like regular old Carcassonne, 2 to 5 players. It adds a little bit of time to the game usually, brings it from around 30 to around 45 minutes. And each expansion is usually somewhere around $15.
All right, very good. So Carcassonne, your board game of the week. Reminds me back in college, I had a case of something, and I believe the doctor gave me a shot of Carcassonne, and it cleared it right up. So I guess... Anyway, it's been that kind of the last half hour in true airplane fashion there. Mr. Zummer, it's a couple minutes left here. What are you thankful for? What's your attitude of gratitude for this week?
I am thankful that right now I am not in a country where we need to worry about being bombed or worry about whether or not we agree with what our government's doing in the military. And I'm grateful that friends of mine who are Jewish are safe. Yes. And that's the main thing that I've been thinking about a lot this week. What about yourself?
Agreed. Thankful to be an American where we're still relatively safe. And I think of all people out there, certainly my Jewish friends, but all people, and hope that
absolutely
the truth can continue forward and that we can find a way forward to live together in peace and harmony. Also thankful for my friends, Kurt and Florcy Kohler. It's Miss Florcy's birthday on Sunday. And once again, she turns 39. So we're looking for
once again.
Once again, she turns. It's funny how she just doesn't go past that number. But anyway, so happy birthday to Florcy Kohler. We're going to be doing a little celebrating this weekend. So looking forward to that. And Mr. Zomers, who lives like we do?
We do.
We do. Cheers, everybody out there. Have a great weekend. Have a safe weekend. Be thankful for the little things, our health, our friends, our family. Hang in there. We'll get through this together if we can continue to support one another. Don't go anywhere. Matt Flynn of Matt Flynn Direct is next. He has a great show on tap. Thank you for all the calls. Thank you for all listeners. Mr. Zomers, this is Todd Allball saying whatever you believe in, whatever you're fighting for, do not give up. We'll see you next week. Keep banging on your drum.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Your hometown radio refreshed. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.